You're listening to a message brought to you by Christian Life Church Hereford. If you would like to find out more about us, go to www.clch.cc.
Good morning. I'd like to add my welcome to you all here. If you're a visitor, if you've come for the baptism or for whatever reason, it's great to have you with us. You are so welcome. After the service, we'll be serving tea and coffee. It'd be great to chat to you, get to know you a bit. There is a bring and share lunch afterwards, and you're welcome to stay for that. We'll stretch the food and pray for it to be enough. So I'd like to welcome everybody online. It's good to have you with us online. Welcome. I want to spend a few minutes. When a preacher says a few minutes, don't always believe him, but I will try and keep it fairly short. I want to talk a little bit about baptism, why these people that are going to get baptized again, what baptism is about. And what I want to look mainly at what has brought them to this point. Baptism is an initiation. Sometimes use the expression out of a church context about baptism, being a baptism of fire, we might say. That's a difficult start, but it's a start of something. And it recognizes in this act of baptism that something has already happened for these five candidates. And what's happened is that they have become Christians, or in other words, they have decided to follow Jesus. They made a decision to follow Jesus in their lives. And they've all got different stories, and they might share a bit of that or not, but there are some common characteristics. The main one is that they are now decided to follow Jesus. And baptism is part of that initiation into Jesus. It says in the Bible that we are baptized into Jesus Christ. And it was practiced right from the beginning of the church. They did baptism right on day one. So the very first sermon that was preached after Jesus died and rose again and went into heaven was preached by one of Jesus' closest friends. He had 12 really close friends. And on that day, the first sermon, Peter preached to a massive crowd. This friend of Jesus, Peter, preached. And he preached that Jesus was the Son of God. He preached that he came in down to earth and became a baby, became a person, and lived amongst us. And that he died on a cross, although he was innocent. He was died on a cross for our sins, to pay the price of our sins, and that he rose again. And is alive today. Peter preached these words, and it says, I'm going to read now from just after he's preached. It says in Acts 2, and the words will come up on the screen, hopefully. It says, Peter's words pierced their hearts, and they said to him and the other apostles, brothers, what should we do? Peter replied, each of you must repent of your sins and turn to God, and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. Then you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is to you, to your children, and to those far away, all who have been called by the name of our Lord our God. Then Peter continued preaching for a long time, strongly urging all his listeners, save yourselves from this crooked generation. Those who believed what Peter said were baptized, and added to the church that day about 3,000 in all. See, here in this text in the Bible, really what is required to be baptized. It said those who believed were baptized. Those who believed the message of the gospel that Peter preached. And they believed that, and that's why it says they were pierced to the heart, because the words they knew they were true, and they went right to the heart. They believed the message of Jesus Christ, dying for our sins and being raised again. And they said, what shall we do? And the second thing that Peter told them to do after believing was to repent. What does that mean? Repent means to turn away from sins and turn to God. I always used to think of repent as kind of a telling off word, where God was telling us to stop being naughty, stop sinning. And it is in part, but actually the main thing about repenting is turning our life around from a life that ignores God to a life that follows God. Now, when I became a Christian, which is many years ago when I was a teenager, my late teens, there was one thing that I knew I had to repent of, one thing that I need to stop, and it was really simply this, that I knew to live a life without God was wrong, and the right thing to do was follow God. And it was as simple as that for me. There were lots of other things that I needed to change in my life, but that was the thing that really was pierced my heart that I knew I needed to do. That to not involve God in my life was wrong, and to involve Him in my life and follow Him was the right thing to do. And I made that decision, and I repented and turned to God when I was 19. And what happened was, is I received the Holy Spirit, as Peter promised there. God gives us the Holy Spirit to live the Christian life, because we can't do it on our own. God, the Holy Spirit is God Himself living in us to help us live the Christian life. And so, although I say we have to make a decision to turn and follow God, we have no power to do it in ourselves. God gives us the Holy Spirit. And these people that are getting baptized have had a similar some experience with God where they know they have to follow God. And that might not have been with angels singing or Jesus appearing, but in their hearts, they've had an experience to know that they have to follow God. I'm going to read a story in the Bible who met a man who met Jesus. He met him personally when Jesus was on the earth, and it brought him to a turning point in his life. And this is a story of a man called Zacchaeus. I'm going to read it from the Gospel of Luke, and it will again should come up on the screen. It says this: Jesus entered Jericho and made his way through the town. There was a man there named Zacchaeus. He was the chief tax collector in the region, and he had become very rich. He tried to get a look at Jesus, but he was too short to see over the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore tree beside the road, for Jesus was going to pass that way. When Jesus came by, he looked up at Zacchaeus and called him by name. "Zacchaeus," he said, "quick, come down. I must be a guest in your home today." Zacchaeus quickly climbed down and took Jesus to his house in great excitement and joy. But the people were displeased. "He has gone to be the guest of a notorious sinner," they grumbled. Meanwhile, Zacchaeus stood before the Lord and said, "I will give half my wealth to the poor, Lord, and if I have cheated people on their taxes, I will give them back four times as much." Jesus responded, "Salvation has come to this home today, for this man has shown himself to be a true son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and save those who are lost." The Son of Man is an expression for Jesus. He was saying that Jesus came to the earth to seek and save those that were lost. And Zacchaeus was lost. He was far from God. And he knew it. Now, interesting that Jesus picked on one person to be at his home. And he picked on the one that everybody in the town probably despised. He was a tax collector. And in those days, tax collectors were known as traitors to the Jews because they worked for the Romans. And they often would charge more tax than was appropriate. And so he was Billy No Mates in that town. He was not liked. They called him a notorious sinner. They put tax collectors and sinners in the same phrase. Sinner, tax collector, same thing to them. He was considered the lowest of the low in that town. But what I want to show from this story is a few points. Firstly, it is God, it is Jesus that takes the initiative in our lives, becoming Christians. So these five that are getting baptized today, and many of you here, have made decisions to follow Jesus. But Jesus took the initiative in your life, in their lives. And he takes it personally. Jesus didn't say to Zacchaeus, "You in the tree." He called him by name. And Jesus calls each one of us by name. So we're baptizing five today. It's not a mass baptism. This is five individuals taking a decision to seal their decision to follow him by getting baptized. And when people give their stories of how they came to follow Jesus, often they will say something like, looking back, I can see that God's hand was in my life long before I came to him. And that's true, that God is working in your life long before you even recognize it. And you may be here thinking, I've just come to watch a friend get baptized, but maybe God is working in your life, drawing you to himself. And the people that God picks out are not the good people. He picked on the bad one in the town. Jesus was known by the religious people as a friend of sinners. That was a derogatory term for them. But I think Jesus wore that name with pride. He was a friend of sinners. Jesus himself said this, I didn't come to invite good people to be my followers. I came to invite sinners. If you think you're good enough, the bad news is Jesus hasn't called you. If you know that you're a sinner, that you're not good enough, then Jesus is calling you. Just to say, no one's good enough. There is no one good enough. We all, to some extent, have sinned. But God calls us. Jesus calls us today. There is a verse in the Bible that says, Jesus says, here I am, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with him and he with me. If you open the door to Jesus, he will come in. If you say, Jesus, come into my life, he will come in. Because there is a part. Jesus is a savior. Jesus took initiative with Zacchaeus, with these five people, but we have a part to play. And the first part is we have to accept that we need a savior. We know that we are not good. We're not good enough. We can't save ourselves. We need someone to find us. And Jesus has come to find us. And we need to say to God, there's no way I can do enough to get myself to near to you, to heaven if you like. I can't do enough to get close to you. I need a savior. And Jesus is that savior. And you need to accept that. And the second thing is the repent bit. We need to say, I'm going to turn my life around. Now, there might be specific things that God tells you to do or to stop doing. But he will work that out on the road, on the journey. The thing you need to decide, we all need to decide is, am I going to live my life on my terms or on God's terms? And we need to turn around and say, I'm going to live it on God's terms. Because becoming a Christian is a radical change of life. It's not merely adding something to our lives. I will go to church now. I will pray now. It is saying, Jesus, you're in charge. See, the early disciples, when they were called, sometimes it meant changing jobs. Sometimes it meant changing where they lived. It could mean that for you. It has for me. But that might not be. The point is, you give it to God and say, your will be done. Not my will. I'm going to follow you. And what you find is, when you make a decision to follow Jesus, an encounter with Jesus changes your life. Changes your life from the inside out. You see in this story of Zacchaeus, it doesn't say that Jesus told him to do anything. But Zacchaeus stood up and said, I am now going to give half my wealth to the poor. I am going to repay anybody I've robbed. He had a changed heart that led to a change in action. Right then, because he met Jesus. And there will be a change in your life if you decide to follow Jesus. And Jesus gives us a new life. He doesn't just patch up the old one. The Bible says this. This means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life has gone, the new life has come. See, in baptism, what we're recognizing is that the old life died. The old life died, and the new life came, the new life in Christ. And so, baptism is a symbol. It also says this in Colossians. When you were baptized, you were buried with Christ, and in baptism, you were also raised with Christ through your faith in the active power of God, who raised him from the dead. You were at one time spiritually dead because of your sins and because you were Gentiles without the law, but God has brought you to life with Christ. God forgave us all our sins. So what we're doing in baptism is recognizing for these five that God has forgiven their sins. God has given them a new life. And so they will go down into the water. We'll put them right under the water as a sign of burial, that the old life has died. We don't bury someone to kill them. We bury them because they've died. So that's happened for these people that have accepted Jesus. And then we will bring them out of the water. It won't be quite as long as an interval between, as I just said it then. We will put them down as an act of a symbol of burial, and we'll bring them up straight away as a symbol that they have been raised with Christ and have new life. And that is what baptism is. It is a symbol of that, but it is because something's happened already, that these people have accepted Jesus. They've believed, not only believed in their minds, they've put their faith in Jesus in a practical way, saying, I'm putting my faith in everything I do in my life by following Jesus. They've been forgiven, and they've received the Holy Spirit that's given them new life. And so they're getting baptized to symbolize that. And that thing that's happened to them can happen for any one of you. Do you know what? You may feel as far away from God as you could imagine because of your lack of religion, your lifestyle, but God is so near. God is just a prayer away. And if you, as I said, Jesus is knocking on the door. If you open the door, he'll come in. He's not waiting for you to sort your life out. Because you know what? Without him, you can't. So there is an invitation, not from me, but from God today, for you to come and receive him and receive his life if you turn your life around. So I'm going to pray. I'm going to pray a simple prayer to say, Jesus, I want to give my life to you and turn to you. Come into my life. So if you today want to pray that prayer for the first time, then you do that with me. Pray that with me. Can I ask you all to just close your eyes? And if you want to pray that prayer with me, then just stick up your hand and then stick it down again. I just want to know that I'm praying with you. Anybody like to pray that prayer today? Okay. Thank you. I'm going to pray. Father, thank you that you are close to me. Thank you, Jesus, that you died on the cross and rose again to take away my sins. Today I want to follow you with my life. I ask you to forgive me of my sins and give me your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. If you've prayed that prayer today, we'd love to chat to you, love to pray you again and just help you follow Jesus more. But if you didn't put your hand up, I know there was some, maybe you've prayed it in your heart, and you want to chat to us, please chat to us again. If you just think, I'm not ready to pray that prayer, but I want to know more, speak to myself, my wife Adriana, Tony Leslie, or somebody you came with, because we'd love to tell you more. The Alpha Course is a great way to find out more about the Christian faith, and I'd recommend that. Okay, God bless you. I think we're going to move on and back to Tony, and we're going to prepare for the baptism.
Thanks, Tim. Should we thank him? Amen.